I'm going to start out a little bit different tonight. I'm going to actually give you a homework assignment. I want you all to open your Bibles to Proverbs 21, 23. Proverbs 21, 23. I'm going to give you something that I have found that I refer to as a principle and a prayer concept. So what I'm going to do is show you a principle that is outlined in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 21, 23, and actually it's kind of the source of my teaching tonight. Had I followed this principle, my week would have been a whole lot better than it is. 21, 23 says, "Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue, keepeth his soul from trouble." I used to have that on my terminal at work. Now the prayer that goes along with that, Psalms 141, 3. Psalms 141, verse 3. "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips." So, what I want each of you to do, take a chance this week, look through the book of Proverbs, find a principle in it. Proverbs is just from start to finish. I try to read Proverbs through every month, full of things that just absolutely make the best sense on how to run your life and how to deal with people. Find a principle in Proverbs and then see if you can find the prayer that will back up that principle in the book of Psalms. And like I said, today, had I followed that, I would have been in a lot better shape this week than I am. So what I want to talk to you about today is choices, how we make them and how we live with them after we've made them. The University of North Carolina wrote an article back in February of 2018. They have a nice big science department. They have, it's called University of North Carolina Science TV, and they do specials of the little TV programs, articles, all these different things they do. Well, this particular one was on choices. And they were quoting a study in from Cornell University for their particular article that day that said that on average, an adult, every day of their life, makes 35,000 decisions. And believe it or not, they say that 226.7 of those decisions are about food. And, you know, I think maybe some of us make a little more decisions than others on that, but that's a lot of decisions. So I got to thinking this morning, well, how many decisions is that? So I went and looked up the average U.S. lifespan is, let's see, 78 and a half years. So if you take 78.54 years times 365 days times 35,000, that's a really big number. It's 1,003,348,500 decisions that we make over the span of our life. Now, if you're a couple of dumb teenagers or drunk hunters running around the woods with a gun and you walk up to a cave and go, "Hey, think there's a bear in that cave?" And the other one goes, "I don't know, let's go and look." Well, guess what? They're not going to make a whole lot more decisions over the rest of their life because they're going to find out there's a bear in that cave. But anyway, decisions, they are so much every day. Just think about it. For everything from how do I go to work? Do I take the I-10? Do I take the 101? All these things we have to do. The article goes on to say that these are the six ways that people make decisions. Impulsiveness, basically taking the first option that's given to you because just going to take the easy route out. Compliance, they say choosing the most pleasing, comfortable, and popular option as it pertains to those around you that are going to be impacted. Delegating, obviously not making the decision, giving it to somebody else to do. Avoidance, deflection, either just completely ignoring it because, you know what, I don't want to deal with it. I got too much on my plate. Balancing all the pros and cons. I think that's probably something a lot of people do. But you end up in some instances, especially if it's one of those areas that you've heard the term the lesser of two evils. They're all got a stack of cons, but this one only has this many cons, this one has this many cons. Problem is, especially in a Christian life, the lesser of two evils is still evil. So a lot of times you got to be careful when you're dealing with those pros and cons. And then finally, prioritizing and reflecting on the decision. Biggest problem we have as Christians is understanding what those decisions mean and how they're going to impact others around us. The character of a Christian appears the most in their choices and their desires. True integrity is only there when you're by yourself. I'll say that again. True integrity is only there when you're by yourself. Because if I make a decision in this room, obviously I'm being influenced by the people I know that are going to be right there and see the decision I make. So really, that might skew how I decide to react. But as a Christian, what really makes us stand up and what only you and God can see is what happens when you are alone with yourself and you're alone with God. What are the things that you watch? What are the things that you read? What are the things that you listen to? What would you do if you thought you could do it and not get caught? Those are the things that really trouble us, and those are the things that as Christians, we have to be so, so very careful in the decisions that we make. Because every decision has two aspects. There's the instantaneous aspect of that decision, and then there's the longer, lingering aspects of that decision. Sometimes the results of that decision don't really show itself up over quite a bit of time. Let me give you an example. I could get up in the morning and decide, you know what? I don't want to cook eggs. I'm going to have a bowl of cereal. So my instant piece of that is I get gratified, my hunger satisfied. I didn't have to spend a lot of time cooking breakfast. But the longer impacting that is, my blood sugar in 2 hours is going to be through the roof. And then I could try to say, well, you know what? I'll mitigate that a little bit. If I'm going to mow the grass today, I'll go ahead and have that cereal because I'm going to be taking 5,000 steps, that'll burn off all those carbs, and that's fine. And so in some instances, you're able to balance out that good versus bad. But the problem with things like that is just like the problem with sin. The Bible says in, hold on, where did I lose it? Ecclesiastes 8:11. Turn with me there. Ecclesiastes 8:11. It says, because God's judgment is typically not swift, so we continue in sin and harmful habits. It says, because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Just imagine life. If everything we did, a good decision, a bad decision, you saw everything that was about that decision right there. Back when I was a kid, I remember the first time I touched the hot stove top, electric stove with those little curly Q things. It wasn't burning red, but I knew it was hot, and I went and did this to it. I saw the little gray spirals of that thing in my hand. Well, guess what? I didn't make that decision again because instantaneously I saw the results. I knew that was a bad decision. But just like blood sugar, as a diabetic, I can eat a candy bar, absolutely, because there's not an instant slap on the hand. I don't get burned. The side of my guts don't blow out the side because I ate sugar. But what happens in that very, very long term, sugar is just like little crystals of glass flowing through my arteries. When I let my sugar get built up, It just goes through and cuts my arteries. And pretty soon, after a long time, your blood starts backing up. That's why your legs, you don't get blood flow to your legs that you need. You don't get blood flow to the extremities that you need. Because just like sin, it's the consequences are not immediately known. We don't necessarily avoid the things that we're not supposed to be doing. What our choices are, and what do they say about us? I'm going to go back to those decision grids that they talked about, and I'm going to boil it down to just two. Because I think as a Christian and in the major life events that we do and the things that matter most, these two really are the way to look at a decision. Impulse and compliance. And I'm going to break impulse down to that's flesh. That's reacting in the flesh. That's reacting with emotion. Versus compliance, made based upon the principles of God's word and through prayer. And if we take our lives and we realize that that is the difference between those types of making decisions, it's going to make our lives so much better. I'm going to go back to a time in my life and use it as an example. Because what we don't realize is decisions don't only impact us. And what is that biggest decision of all in all of our lives? Our entire life, start to finish, these 1,300,348,500 decisions, if I live that long. What is the only decision at the end of that time that is significant? Did I accept Christ? Did I reject Christ? So out of those over 1 billion decisions, one decision is the decision that matters the most in my life. And folks, we've got to realize as Christians, that is the decision that matters most in your life, in my neighbor's life, in my coworker's life, in my children's life, my family's life. One decision over their lifetime. Are they going to reject Christ? Are they going to accept Christ? And when we realize that as we make decisions, especially those decisions that are out of the flesh, that is like dropping a rock in a pond. And the ripples from that splash go out. And they're very far reaching. You can drop a rock on this side of the lake and it actually will make it clear across to the other side if the water's calm. Now, granted, it's going to be a lot less impactful on the other side of that lake than it is right on around the rock, but it's there. And so the people right around you, when you react in the flesh, your family, your coworkers, they're going to be pushed by that ripple. It's going to take and maybe change their next decision because of how they just were impacted by what happened. And I'm going to use this example. It's an example that I'm probably one of the most ashamed of in my entire life. I'd give anything to be able to redo it. 2008, November. The election results had just come in. I was furious. Absolutely furious. I went into the office. I thought I was being so... turn my flag upside down as showing that we're a country in distress. A friend of mine that I'd been witnessing to, I'm such a good Christian. I found out he didn't vote the way I thought he should have voted. I exploded. My Bible verses on the side of my terminal. I said everything in the world except what I should have done. I let loose on him. I cussed. How in the world could you do? I I thought we agreed. I thought we did this. How could you have done that? Do you think he was the only one that heard me doing that? No. That whole floor of my office heard me making, because I made a decision in the flesh. I reacted out of impulse because something at the I have absolutely no idea how many people that idiotic moment in my life impacted for the negative. Because here I tried to tell people I was a Christian, and then what do? Go right there and show them that I'm absolutely everything they prove that they think a Christian is. I'm a hypocrite. I ain't no better than you. How can you say that you're better than me, that you're going to heaven? Because I don't even talk that way. Guys, it is so important, the decisions that we make, how we present ourselves every moment of every day. We cannot let impulse decisions, decisions out of the flesh, impact how we deal with people. Bring it back to this week. I told you this came out of this week, Monday. We had a wonderful day at home. Had a wonderful meal. Talking afterwards with some people at the table. Hey, I'm mad again. That fast. I let that anger boil out. I lashed out. I was hurtful. I could see on the face. I was hurtful. I asked God to forgive me. Later on, I called the individual, asked them to forgive me. I know God did. I mean, he promises. He knows we're idiots. He knows we're dumb. He knows we're going to fall. He's going to forgive me. I know he forgave me. What I don't know are the consequences of that decision. How are they going to go in the long term? Because that individual now has a choice. Are they going to realize I'm an imbecile, I'm an idiot, I'm a dummy, and overlook it and forgive me? Or are they going to hold it against me? We just cannot allow those types of decisions to impact people around us. Proverbs 12:16. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a grievous word stirs up anger. So what do? I stirred up that anger. It is so important that we realize how we make a decision and what we're making our decisions based on. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 6. 2 Chronicles 1, verse 6. You all familiar with this story? King David had just died in the prior chapter ending 1 Chronicles. And now Solomon. Scholars say that Solomon was probably anywhere from 12 to 15 years old when he became the king of Israel. And this young boy had more wisdom than a lot of us even before he asked for that wisdom. Because chapter 1, verse 6, and Solomon went up thither to the brazen altar before the Lord, which was at the tabernacle of the congregation, and offered 1,000 burnt offerings upon it. One of the first things he did after being anointed king went before God, praised God, honored God with all his heart, with all his soul. And then what's the next verse? And in that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask what I shall give thee. So God is saying, Solomon, you've got a blank check. You tell me, I'm going to do it. And we all know the answer. Solomon said, give me wisdom. so that I can lead these great, so great a people. Give me wisdom. So that's, I'm using that as the example of the second way that we're supposed to make decisions, out of compliance, made based on the principles and direction of God's word through prayerful consideration. So that's what Solomon did. First thing he did, go to church, go to the temple, make sacrifices, praise God. Something we should be doing every day of our life, keeping God in our hearts, even though we're not in this building. We should still, that's where that integrity piece comes in. We're not here around the people that we're trying to impress at church. We're not here playing the game called church. We leave. Are we really going to continue how we acted Sunday through Monday morning, through Tuesday morning, through Wednesday? Are we going to do that? Absolutely, we must do that. Let us make sure that every decision we make from Sunday when we walk out of here till Sunday morning when we come back, we make as few of them out of impulse in the flesh as we can, and as many of them as we can out of compliance and consideration of God's word. Thank you. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you for so much for this opportunity that was given to me to stand.